Blog Talk Radio.
And hello and welcome to New Mexico FBI Hot Podcast number 13 for the week ending September 16th, which is today. I am your host and sometime contributor, well, very rare contributor, Paul, along with Matt, the proprietor of the statewide politics blog, NMFBI Hop, which is available at nmfbihop.com. Today we'll be talking about the upcoming Obama event, new presidential polling, and as well as statewide election roundup. You can get a hold of us many ways, including calling the podcast at 347-826-9514, and I will look for you, I promise. I hope that the whole deal worked out now. On Instant Messenger at nmfbihop.com, email at fbihop.com, fbihop at gmail.com, as well as flag signals and Morris Tobel whistles and stuff like that. So without further ado, I will bring Matt into the mix and we'll get started. Are you there?
Yep, I'm here. I'm ready to talk some politics.
Okay, okay. Well, all right, so now that I got that little deal out of the way, and hopefully we get some callers later, let's get started.
Okay. What do you want to start with?
I think we should start with the Obama event, since that's probably the biggest thing that's come out in the last couple of days, and you've been working on that pretty hard. I know that you've come out with like three or four posts that have tried to let people know what is going on with that. So,
yeah. The Obama's going to be in Española on Thursday. That's north of Santa Fe for those of you who aren't from New Mexico. It's northern New Mexico, which is a heavily Hispanic area with a lot of Hispanics whose families have been there since, you know, the 1500s, since the Spanish came over. So they really are Hispanic, not Latino. Barack Obama's going to be there for a rally at Santa Fe or at Española Plaza. And you can get your tickets at pretty much any Northern New Mexico Obama headquarters. Tomorrow is your last chance, obviously. Oh, wait, what's today? Tuesday? Yeah, tomorrow's your last chance. Tomorrow's Wednesday. Or you can go online and you can find it there. We have a link to it on our blog, if you look for that post that I wrote.
And did you find out if it was a town hall or if he'll just be speaking and moving out of there?
It's a rally, so it's not a town hall meeting. It's on the plaza. I'm pretty sure it's outdoors. I'm not completely sure, so I'm not exactly sure on the details. But it is a rally. It starts at 10:30. I'm pretty sure you have to get there way, way earlier than that in order to get in. So plan ahead.
Okay. All right, so in going along with the Obama presidential campaign deal, what is this new poll that has come out that had McCain ahead by 2 points, 49-47?
Yeah, it's a Rasmussen poll, so it's a pretty accurate poll, but also the timing of it was very favorable to McCain. It was timed, it was squarely in McCain's post-convention bounce, which is the time right after the convention, where people have seen nonstop coverage of that one party for an entire week, and the Sarah Palin excitement bounce, because Sarah Palin pretty much energized the Republican base in a way they hadn't been before. But since that poll came out, other national polling has shown that McCain's numbers are slowly receding back to the pre-convention levels, or at least dead even. And also, that came during his post-appearance bounce, you could say, because he was in New Mexico and got a lot of attention for that last weekend, and the poll was taken last Tuesday. So it was taken at the best possible time for McCain and the worst possible time for Obama. So take that poll with a grain of salt, but still, it's a close race here in New Mexico, since every race we've ever had, it seems like, has been a close one.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and speaking of races getting closer, what about the new Udall poll that has Udall up by 7, though Pierce appears to be getting some more support. Is that correct?
Yeah, it's Pierce up by 7, 51-44, and it's that same Rasmussen polling. So, again, I'm not sure if there's some sort of Republican bounce there since, Pierce is a Republican, Udall the Democrat. Not sure if there's any sort of coattail effect on the polling between McCain and Pierce. But it shows no drop in support for Udall, actually. And actually, just Pierce, maybe he's just bringing up the base, bringing home the base, because he has 44% now. And maybe it was some people who were, it might be some disaffected Heather Wilson supporters who were re-energized by the pick of Palin, who have come back to Pierce, because Pierce and Wilson had a pretty nasty primary. That it was one of the nastier races, and that was just a primary. So we know that Pierce will be pulling out all the stops soon to try and take over that Senate seat.
And so Pierce is at least trying to get his base together. Do you think that that he has enough of a chance to win, just bringing his base actually to his side, or will he need more actual support from people for Udall to come over to his side? And is it possible with his election strategy right now?
With the voter registration, if you just look straight registration, Democrats outnumber Republicans pretty handily in New Mexico, and especially with the new voter registration, which usually are not included. I don't think they're ever included in likely voter polls. So that's another thing to look at. I'm not sure if it's likely or registered off the top of my head at this poll. So, but to answer your question, he needs more than just his base. This isn't a state where you can win on a base election. This is a state where you have to win by taking some of the other person's leaners, at least. Not just, like, obviously you're never going to take the other person's base, but you have to take some of the people that would be leaning Democratic and maybe get them to vote, who would normally, in a generic situation, lean Democratic, but get them to vote for a Republican in order for Pierce to win. Udall has to keep all of his, Udall has to do the same thing. People who might be normally toss-ups or lean Republican, he has to get them on his side in order to win this Senate election.
And do you see that will endorsements play a big part in this in this election as far as it goes for the Senate race? Because it looks like Udall has been doing a lot better on the endorsement front. Well, besides Domenici, but
yeah, he just recently got an endorsement from the International Association of Firefighters, and those are generally more effective. Those union endorsements and stuff like that, and big organizations, big groups, generally more effective than individuals. Even someone as beloved by their party as Domenici is, beloved by the state really, as Domenici is, just because the IAFF, the International Association of Firefighters, they have the means to go out and work for Udall. They have the means to go out and endorse Udall, get some press, that sort of stuff. You know, go and say, hey, look, we're firefighters for Udall. And who doesn't like firefighters? Firefighters are a very important part of society. And Udall getting that endorsement, that's just going to help them out. These sort of union endorsements just help them out because they have the organization to go out, work, and get more votes, not just saying, hey, I'm Pete Domenici, go vote for Steve Pierce.
Okay. And it looks like they've actually been endorsing a couple of candidates, including Heinrich, right? So they didn't just go in and endorse on the Senate race. They also endorsed in the first district, right?
Yeah. Yeah, actually, at that same rally that I was at, that same press conference, or it wasn't really a press conference, it was more of a rally with a bunch of people wearing yellow shirts that say Firefighters for Udall or Firefighters for Heinrich. And that's because the International Association of Firefighters, they endorsed both Heinrich and Udall. So, and actually earlier in the year, the IAFF Local 244, had endorsed Martin Heinrich already. So now he got the backing of, he got the blessing of both the local group and the international group, really. So that's going to be a big thing for Heinrich. another first responder that went for him. And actually, just to touch on something else, a little bit talking about the Senate races we were before, this is another endorsement that Udall got was the Fraternal Order of Police. So he has firefighters and police on his side, which is a pretty good thing to have on your side in any situation.
And has the Fraternal Order of Police come out with an endorsement for the for the first district?
I don't believe so, but I'd assume they'd go for Darren White since he is a police officer, so he'd have a leg up there, obviously.
Yeah, well, I'd just be interested to see that because I know that, that he has had different county sheriff, different sheriffs endorse other people, right?
Most notably Santa Fe County Sheriff Greg Solano, who's been very outspoken on behalf of Heinrich, very outspoken against Darren White, because he just believes that Darren White, who was the Bernalillo County campaign chair for Bush Cheney in 2004, he just believes that Darren White's just out of touch if he thinks that Bush's policies are any good for anybody.
Okay. And speaking of Bush visits, actually, and Darren White, what does this deal with, and I've read it in the paper and stuff about Darren White needing to reimburse the Bernalillo County for a Bush visit?
Well,
the
controversy came because, well, he didn't have to, but the Heinrich campaign saying he should, because what happened was Bush came for a private event, that's the key thing here, private, for Darren White to fundraise for him, and he gave him about $115,000, I believe, somewhere, $113,000, I believe, actually, somewhere around there for Darren White's campaign coffers, and it cost the city it cost New Mexico taxpayers $5,000 for the security and everything. I mean, that doesn't count Air Force One and all that stuff. Like, the president can go wherever he wants. Obviously, he can do whatever he wants. But it just seems like the Heinrich campaign is saying it just seems like White should be paying this back since it was a private event. There was no attempt for the public to come see George Bush.
Mm-hmm.
It's unlike when Bill Clinton came last time, it was a public event where anybody could go see him.
Mm-hmm. And that was in the public interest. Is that what people are saying? That if it's in the public interest, people are able to go see it, then the public could pay for it?
I don't know if it's public interest, but it's public. At least it's a public event where everyone's invited. This is just a private event where only some very high-dollar donors were invited, and it cost all of us money.
Yeah.
Well, especially people all of the Albuquerque residents' money.
Oh,
all the birth-
and you know what? You know what? I found it. Someone called us, so let's talk to them right now. All right? I'm gonna put them on the line. Hello, caller. You're on the podcast with us.
Yes, you know, I was just listening to the show, and I'm curious if Matt is concerned at all about the TV ads where the sheriff who's running against Martin Heinrich doesn't even mention his political affiliation. And then on the other hand, if he's concerned that Martin Heinrich is, kind of refusing to debate on some of the TV channels.
I think I recognize that voice, but The TV ad, we're actually going to get to that ad next. We'll talk about that next. But the debates, that is a pretty – it seems like he's running as a front runner right now because he's kind of limiting the time that he gives Darren White access on free TV. And you can argue if it's a good or a bad thing. I think that he should be out and debating. I think that the campaign should be out and debating if it helps people. But – I've also heard that Martin Heinrich didn't do so well in a couple debates, so they may be prepping him for a little more. And the thing is, the debate that got canceled was with KRQE I can't remember if it was KRQE, but it was with the AARP, and that's a group in elections you probably don't want to anger. So he's going to have to do something about that.
Mm-hmm. I would tend to agree with you there.
Yeah. Is there anything else? Okay, thank you for listening.
Thanks.
Okay.
Good.
All right. Yeah. He also mentioned the ads, which we're going to get to now. So I'll just start talking about those, if that's all right.
You know what? Let me interrupt you, and I will give out the number once again so that people can call in. That's great that someone called in. And if you would like to come in, and when I say I'm going to put you on, if you would like to say your name or anything like that, it'd be nice to know who's been listening. And then we have one listener, so that's good. So the number is 347-826-9514, and feel free to call in whenever, and I'm eagle eye on this thing, so I'm going to make sure I can get you in. So, all right, so yeah, and go ahead about the new campaign ads, which I find very fascinating.
Yeah, the new campaign ads, which everyone around the state pretty much is going to be seeing, it's not just First Congressional District, just because of how our media markets work. It's Darren White has one where he's running away from the Republican brand. He says he's an independent. It's just a basic bio ad, so there's really nothing much to analyze about it. It talks about him, his past. He was an 82nd Airborne sheriff. He quit his job when Gary Johnson wanted to legalize pot and other drugs because Gary Johnson was pretty crazy about that. But he was a Republican, by the way. But it's just your basic bio ad, except at the end he says he's going to be an independent voice for New Mexico. And it really sounds similar to the kind of, I don't know the exact wording there, but there was something in there that I remember sounded very, very similar to something that John McCain is saying. So it's two people that are running away from Bush, because Darren White, as I said before, was the Bernalillo County campaign chair for Bush in Bush-Cheney in 2004. So he has to run away from that. And then there's the Heinrich ad, which personally I didn't like. I thought it was a little bit too cute. But I think it does play to the kind of person who's not. It would probably play to somebody who's not involved in politics as I am, who's kind of tired of the political ads. Because to be honest, I don't see political ads because I rarely watch TV. I rarely watch TV news because of the political ads. And it could play to them. It was an ad where it shows America being held back by big oil. It was a bunch of sprinters with country flags on their chest, like Nigeria, I noticed, and Mexico, were two that I noticed for sure. And then the American one is being held back by an oil executive. He's dragging him down because the runner has to run with the dragging the oil executive around. And then it ends with Martin Heinrich say, I approve this message, blah, blah, blah. And then the oil executive says, but I don't. So, I get what they're trying to do, and maybe it succeeds among voters who aren't exactly obsessive about this like I am, or some of our listeners are. But I just didn't like it. But it's also, we'll see what Darren White does, because Darren White, he's behind in the Survey USA poll, but he's ahead in his own internal polling. So we'll see if he goes negative for the Survey USA poll or continues to stay positive and, you know, kind of stay out of the limelight and hope that his internal polling is correct.
Okay. And I just want to add that I did like that ad because it was, I think it was cute in a way that no political ads that we've seen at least this cycle have been. So it's actually at least refreshing. So and I think people will take that and say, okay, well, this is different. And they'll at least be able to say, okay, that's a Heinrich ad because it's different. So I think that's good because the white ads, they feel all the same. So
it stands out, you're saying?
Yeah. In my opinion, honestly, that's all that matters. So
that's true. Well, yeah, they've lost the country.
Yeah, indeed. And I just want to remind the listeners that even though I am – the upper class, because I do make over $5 million a year, you know, because we talked about this a couple weeks ago, that was some reason not invited to that private Bush donor meeting, so I just want to let everyone know, even though, yeah.
It might be that D next to your name on your voter registration card.
Yeah.
Okay.
But I'm really rich, so. Okay, so we got about 10 more minutes left, give or take, to talk about the rest of the stuff, so let's go to the 2nd District and about the new television ad for Tinsley.
Yeah, I haven't actually seen it, to be honest. It's nowhere online. Like I said, I don't really watch TV, so I haven't seen it there either. But the Democratic Party of Mexico pretty much immediately sent out a fact check where where they say that the ad is trying to Tinsley. The ad shows Tinsley trying to portray himself as a as just a common man, as just a man of the people. But then, because like he opened his own sandwich shop, it's just him and his wife, and you think someone like someone getting a small business loan and whatever. But then they say, you know what? He was a lawyer before he went into that, and as we all know, lawyers might make a couple dollars for their job, a couple more than maybe not $5 million a year, so they might still be middle class, but they still make some money. So they're saying Tinsley's trying to show himself that he's a common man, but he's really another out of touch politician. So we'll have more on that next week when I actually see the ad.
Mm-hmm.
Well, if he really has a humble beginning, as the ad is titled, and the contrast, of course, is Teague was, you know, he started working out in the oil fields for $1.50 an hour, or something ridiculously small like that, and worked his way up to owning his own company. So he really has a humble beginning there.
Okay.
I can hear some sort of baby crying over there on that one, in the blind.
Crying, he's actually really happy and playing with this stuff. But anyways, we'll talk about him later. But and we can talk about, let's see here. The Bill McCamley pact for young Democrat candidates, is that for young Democrats down south to get?
No, it's young Democrats to get elected statewide office. He's Bill McCamley, actually speaking of CD2 and Teague. He lost to Teague in the primary in a pretty close, in a very close primary, 51-49, I believe. So Mo McCamley, he lost there, and he just wrote a commentary over on Heath Hausman's website, nmpolitics.net, I believe, or just hausman.blogspot.com. We have the link on our blog as well. But he wrote a commentary about how he's having a hard time finding a job in his. So he's working pretty hard, you know, just manual labor. Like I remember you did for one summer. You worked landscaping. I'm sure it's even less fun working outside all day in southern New Mexico. But anyways, he's starting his own pack to help young Democrats get elected. And that's the statewide office. And I really think this is a great idea because these are the people who are going to be running for Congress in 10 years. They're going to be running for Senate in 15 years, you know, 10, 15 years. These are the people that make sure Democrats still have a deep bench to go to. These are the people that, I mean, heck, look at somebody like Senator Obama. He's running for president now. Where was he 6 years ago? He was in the Illinois State Senate. And some people say that's, you know, he's woefully inexperienced, blah blah blah. But the point is, he would have never been where he is now if he wasn't elected to that state position. So this is a pack that's really, I believe it's even called the Young Leaders Pack or something like that. I'm not 100% sure I should be, but it's a great idea by McCamley, and this is something that's going to help Democrats get that next generation, like we're even seeing them now with Martin Heinrich and Ben Ray Lujan and Bill McCamley himself, who was a Doniana County Commissioner for 4 more months, and even Hector Valderas, who's the state auditor. We have a new generation. Let's make sure we keep that new generation going.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Oh, and I definitely want to make sure we have at least the next 6 minutes dedicated to probably your favorite 2 hours spent in the convention center, which is sitting through the T. Boone Pickens town hall.
Yeah. It was interesting. I'll say that. It's very interesting to see so many Democrats over there at an event from a former Swift voter. I mean, he funded the Swift Vote Veterans for Truth, which is really a bunch of lies, but that's was something that was pretty instrumental in defeating John Kerry in 2004. And also now the Democrats are embracing him, so much so that Governor Bill Richardson recently signed the Pickens Plan pledge, saying that he supports the Pickens Plan, even though he said that he still has some reservations about it. He doesn't believe it exactly. But I just don't understand why these people want to be, why these people are running to embrace this far-right Republican. But that said, there was also Republicans there. I guess Darren White was there, even though I didn't see it. I didn't see him. And Justine Fox Young, who's one of the rising stars for the Republicans, and she could be one day she'll be a congresswoman for the Republicans. But then for the Democrats, I saw former candidate Don Wyviatt. I saw former Mayor Jim Baca. Diane Danish was on stage. But the biggest name was probably Pete Domenici giving his video address. Well, definitely Pete Domenici giving his video address. But the Pickens plan, for people who don't know, it's basically wind energy in the plains where the wind corridor is. And then it's natural gas, converting our cars to natural gas because it's much cheaper and much more abundant than gasoline. And Pickens says he drives a natural gas car himself and that it's easy and all this. But there are some problems with that. Some people believe that he's just after the right-of-ways because the transmission lines to get from the – let me start over. You need transmission lines to get all that power from the wind. They aren't currently there, so he's going to need – he's basically saying we're going to need government subsidies for that. And then once we get that, then people are saying, oh, he just wants this for his water. He just bought a lot of water up in the Panhandle in Texas, and he has nowhere for it to go to. Mm-hmm. So people are saying he's just doing this because he's basically a water baron. You know, he was an oil man before, independent oil man, so he wasn't part of big oil, but still he's an oil man. And now people are saying he just wants to control all that water, and he needs a way of that water getting somewhere, and this is his way of doing that. So, I mean, nobody really knows. I personally don't trust him. I can't trust anybody who funded the Swift Boat Veterans for Truth.
Mm-hmm.
So, that's just my take on it.
Do you think that the plan is at least well thought out in the fact that these resources that he thinks that we can use are actually feasible? Or do you think that he just that kind of feels like he's overreaching and that he is trying to do something that would help him but just try to make it a reality through some far-fetched plan? That makes sense.
Yeah, it's difficult because there's so many things that go into this. Like, for one, we don't have the transmission lines, like I mentioned. Another is that wind isn't always blowing, despite what you think during the spring in Albuquerque or anywhere in New Mexico. The wind isn't always blowing, and when it's not blowing, there isn't power coming. So that means we have to figure out how to have better storage for the power. That's the advantage of coal and all these other dirty plans. But then the thing about Pickens is if you criticize his plan, he says, I'm an expert, and that's his defense. Or he says, you know what, you can do that too, as long as it's American. So he doesn't mind about the global warming or any of that.
So if you said we need to drill giant holes and put magnets in the bottom of them. And then if you said that, he'd just say, just long as it's American magnets, he wouldn't care.
If that somehow produced energy, yeah.
Okay, well, I'm just saying, because if it's some far-fetched thing, he still doesn't care. Because I can see him doing that, because from what I've seen and heard him speak, it's definitely doable. So.
Yeah, I don't trust him all the way. I mean, there's some serious problems. It's like I was outlining, but we do need to address those problems anyways. We do need to get more wind power, less coal power. We do need to get more solar power. We do need to convert our cars, but maybe the best way is to convert them to plug-in hybrids or plug-in vehicles instead of instead of another finite source, which is natural gas. Sure, it's plentiful right now, but it's not always going to be plentiful. We're not always going to have natural gas around.
Yeah. And one last thing before we have about a minute left. But one last thing about the transmission lines and the right of ways and all that stuff, and I've been reading about this topic a little bit here and there. I am not an expert, so I can't use that as my defense, but I do think that the transmission lines and the way that the power is transferred back and forth, that has to be improved, right? Like, people think that they can actually make it a lot more efficient. And did he ever address that? And say, like, I'm going to make
good. I didn't ask him that. I'm obviously not an expert on energy. I was speaking to John Fleck. After the event, he said, you know what, I'm not an expert in energy. John Fleck knows a hell of a lot more than I ever will, probably. No, but, I mean, there's probably some energy experts out there who could tell you the answer, but I'm not one of them. I just play a political expert on TV.
Okay. All right, well, and actually we're done being live right now, but I think we should still talk about Val Kilmer because we're doing pretty good and we can go an extra minute over. So please talk about Val Kilmer and how he's going to be the greatest governor ever.
So apparently this crazy man, Val Kilmer, who's crazy, I'll talk about that in a second, he's running for, or he might be running for governor, and he got like the tacit endorsement of Bill Richardson. Well, he got the endorsement to run. He didn't get his endorsement. If Bill Richardson doesn't endorse Spanish, then something's wrong with him. But there's been rumors that he wanted to run. He lives in New Mexico. He has a ranch in New Mexico. And Politico.com reported during the Republican convention that there was rumors going on about Kilmer running for president, and the press just took off with it. They found out a bunch of stuff about how he said that he lives in, like, the homicide capital of Southwest, how 80% of the drivers in his county are drunk, how there's a bunch of stuff like that. And the AP uncovers that Val Kilmer never voted. He hasn't updated his voter registration to his new address. So, I mean, maybe he does want to run, and maybe he'll do well, but right now he probably has to take more interest in the political process if he hasn't even registered to vote. And plus, he was scheduled to appear with Ralph Nader somewhere at an event at the DNC, the Democratic National Convention. So that'll tell you what his political views are.
Okay. Well, we still have more to get to, but I think we'll try to get to him next week or something. Because and I heard that you're thinking of expanding this, correct?
Yeah, we're probably going to, up till the election, we're probably going to make this 45 minutes or 60 minutes. We'll go ahead and do that next week. So next week, look for an extended train wreck. And like our caller earlier today, give us a call, and we'll see you guys next week.
Okay. All right. Thank you, guys.